The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord. Dear brothers and sisters, up until this very moment in history, this powerful encounter that we see in the gospel passage today of the Lord coming into the synagogue, Jesus proclaiming this profound mystery, for the first time proclaiming who he truly is, you know, in your hearing today, this scripture passage is fulfilled. As he says this, he's saying he is the Messiah who has come to liberate us from our captivity, to bring sight to the blind, to liberate the oppressed. Up until this point in history, the world truly was in darkness, in sin, in the captivity, oppression of the sin of Adam and Eve. And in a very powerful way today, we see the proclamation that is at the heart and center of who Christ is as the Savior, that his whole purpose, his whole mission is to redeem humanity. And in a particular way, to redeem each and every one of us in the midst of our own oppression, our own slavery, the darkness of our own sin, where we cry out, asking for that liberation. The Lord today speaks to our hearts today, in this very moment, during this very Mass, that he is doing that in our life, if we're but willing to receive him as the Anointed One. It's really powerful today, that verb that's used. The first part of that today, behold, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. Anointed me. That verb is so important because it reveals to us the essence of who Christ is. The term Christ, of course, Messiah, the Greek means what? The Anointed One. We hear that today. He is the one who is anointed by God to redeem the world, to do these things that he says he's going to do today. And he does this in three ways, three kind of identities. He does this as the perfect priest, perfect prophet, and the perfect king, king of the universe. Because these were the three people in the Old Testament who were anointed. Priests were anointed to make an acceptable sacrifice on behalf of the Jews, on behalf of the Israelites, to bear up the sins of the people of God, offering their brokenness, but also their acts of goodness to God, offering this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, of reparation. Then, of course, we have the prophets who were anointed with oil to proclaim the good news. All these amazing, powerful people we hear about in the Old Testament, Isaiah, Elijah, all these individuals who called God's people in a spirit of repentance, back to union with their God, back to a place of submission to the God who loved them, who was pouring out their life to free them. And then finally, kings. Think of King David, you know, who's anointed to become the new king of the Israelites. Kings who are anointed to safeguard the kingdom of God here on earth that has been entrusted to them, to, with holy kingship, to reign over the kingdom of this world and make it as it is in heaven. Let God's kingdom come down on earth. These were the three individuals of the Old Testament who were anointed and who Christ in his perfected life lives out those perfectly, constantly offering the one perfect sacrifice, which we offer during the Mass, his sacrifice of his very self on the cross. As the prophet, he is constantly proclaiming into our heart the truth through his word, for he is the word made flesh, calling us in repentance to come back to him, to receive the truth, to let go of those places where we're not living in the light of truth. And then finally, he reigns over our life, protecting us from evil. He possesses all power, liberating us from darkness and safeguarding us as his children. The Anointed One. Now, it's very interesting. We are intimately connected to this identity of who Christ is as the Anointed One. If Christ is the anointed one, if the word Christ means anointed one, what are we? We are Christians. So we are little anointed ones. And we receive that anointing particularly through what two sacraments? Our baptism and our confirmation, where we receive this same Holy Spirit who comes into our life, who first allows us to be redeemed and liberated from our oppression and brought to the light in the way that God pronounces that he's going to do in our life through his son Jesus. And then, in becoming a Christian, becoming a child of God, a son or a daughter of him, we then are called to live out those same identities of being an anointed one in the world as priest, prophet, and king. All of us, through our baptism, are called to be priests, prophets, and kings. There's actually a prayer during baptism where the priest prays for the child who's being baptized that they would live in those identities that the Lord is bestowing on them today through their baptism. So how do we live those out? Think about your life being called to be a priest. Now, when we refer to priesthood here, this is the universal priesthood that we all possess. There's the universal priesthood that we possess in our baptism, and then there's the ministerial priesthood, which is a different sacrament, which I possess, sacrament of holy orders, where I stand in the person of Christ to offer the sacrifice. But each and every one of us are priests, called to offer up sacrifice in every moment of our life, bearing account for the gifts that God has given us, and then being willing to hand it back up to God in trust, in thanksgiving, in a spirit of gratitude, offering to God the greatest joys of our life, offering to God our greatest sufferings, constantly making every moment an act of returning to God the blessing that he's giving us in our life. Called to be prophets, to be proclaimers of the truth of God, who we've been called to be as Christians, to live in the commandments of truth that safeguard our life from this darkness of sin that oppresses us, to not only proclaim to the world through word the truth, but also just through our deeds, through the witness of our life. And we do that particularly in a small way in our families, in your vocation as husband and wife, the community of faith here at St. Helens, in the community of Georgetown, and then in a wider way to the world, being called to be a prophet of the good news that God has sent his son Jesus to redeem us from our sin. And then finally, to be a king, to reign over the unique responsibilities God has put in your life as a king or a queen, to make God's kingdom come down here on this earth. Each of us have unique responsibilities that God has given us, unique people in our life that we have to bear account for one day. Me as the priest, it's all of you guys, my flock, that I have to bear account for one day, the unique kingdom of God of St. Helens that, you know, I have to bear account for as a spiritual father. Each of you who are parents have your children that God has entrusted to you, the kingdom of souls that God's asking you to foster and lead to him who can redeem their lives. And then each and every one of you given unique gifts and talents of the Holy Spirit. We heard about them in our second reading today. Some of us, beautiful gifts as administrators, beautiful gifts of the Spirit, proclaimers of the truth, teachers, prophets, apostles, all the different ways in which God gives us these gifts to safeguard his kingdom and build it up here on earth as kings and queens, being baptized in he who is the king of the universe. So the questions we have to ask ourselves today is, how are we really living out those three identities and grafting our soul into the soul of the Anointed One, allowing his anointing to flow through the anointing we've received through our baptism and our confirmation, to live those realities with power and with truth. So think about your life as a priest, you know, in your universal priesthood. Where are the difficulties in your life where you struggle to offer moments of your life in thanksgiving to God? Where do you struggle to make good actions and good deeds? Where are the places in your life where you become bitter and struggle to offer back up to God the situation of your life? Places of suffering, places of difficulty, places where it's difficult to trust that God is with us in the midst of confusion, fear, darkness? Where are the places that are preventing us from, as a priest, offering our life back up to God in thanksgiving, sanctifying that gift of life that he's entrusted to us? As a prophet, where are the places in your life where either out of fear You're not willing to proclaim the truth because of the rejection, the persecution it might mean. Oftentimes, even in our own families, places we're not willing to proclaim the truth as prophets of God, or places where we're going too far. We're oppressing God's people by trying to force them to change, dominating them instead of proclaiming the truth and letting God's grace convert their hearts. Where are we as kings or queens failing to safeguard the kingdom that God has entrusted to us? Where are places that we're negligent, not present to those who are called, we're called to love? Ways in which, you know, we're not there for our kids, we're not there for our spouse. Ways in which we're serving ourselves instead of those people who have been entrusted to us. Ways in which we're failing to safeguard this community of faith that God's given us here at St. Helens. Places in our ministries, places in the structure of our church where we're failing to love each other, where there's brokenness, disunity, where we're not allowing God's kingdom to come in our life. Or places where we're forcing it as kings, you know, trying to force our subjects, those people entrusted to our life, to obey. So in a spirit of oppression, not really fostering growth, but, you know, oppressing people. The mystery of today is that those are huge things to live out, being a priest, prophet, and king. And we see that kind of fear today in our first reading today between Nehemiah and Ezra as they lift up the scroll in front of the Israelites. And what happens? The people get fearful. They say, how can we do this? They fall down in kind of fear. And Ezra and Nehemiah caution them and say, this is a day of thanksgiving. This is a day of the Lord. Yes, this is a huge thing God has asked us to live out, but today is holy to our Lord. Do not be saddened by this day, for rejoicing in the Lord must be your strength. As they lift up the scroll of the law, which was the heart of the Old Testament for the Jews, the people say, amen, amen. And then what do? They prostrate themselves. They lay down their very bodies in adoration of the representation of God for them, which was the Torah, the law. What does this scene kind of look like or remind us of? It reminds us of what we're doing right now, the Mass, where Jesus, the center of our salvation in the new covenant, he who comes to liberate us from darkness, is lifted up in his precious body and blood poured out, the one perfect sacrifice that saves us from our sin, and we cry out, amen, amen. And we lay down our lives in reverence, prostrating our life, trusting that his grace has the power to allow us to live as Christians, as little anointed ones, to rely on his grace in our life to live in these identities that we've been anointed to live as. So that's the secret, is the only way we live out these identities as priest, prophet, and king in our baptismal identity and the power that we've received through our confirmation is through what? Holy submission. Rejoicing in God, laying down our life, and allowing his grace, relying on him to allow us to live these identities. So allowing his grace to help us to trust, to make an offering as priests each day for the gift of life that we've received, even in those most difficult moments. To allow his grace, a spirit of submission to him, to allow us to bear witness to the truth without fear, without forcing it, trusting in his grace. All we have to do is be faithful to his truth, to proclaim it, and he will do the rest. To be faithful and submissive as kings and queens in our life, to safeguard those people who have been entrusted to us, and then to allow God to work in his life to bless them, to safeguard them in our life, to safeguard us as a people of God. When we do that, when we submit to God, and it makes it a light burden, an easy yoke, the thing that God says he desires for us. You know, he's come to give us a light burden, an easy yoke in who we are as his children. These should be easy things we do, priest, prophet, and king. When we submit to God in that way, we end up being what we hear about in our second reading today. One body in Christ. Even though we have many parts, many gifts, many talents, even though we all bear the brokenness of our own wounds in our life, our own sins, the unique kind of particular darknesses and oppression, spirit of slavery that we all carry with us, God, as we all mutually submit to him, calling upon him to liberate us as the Savior of the world, truly believing it and opening our heart, asking God to renew us every day of our life, and particularly when we come on Sunday for this one perfect sacrifice where we actually proclaim the truth of who God is and let his very body renew us in this redeeming power of who he is, we become truly one body in Christ. And then we truly become a witness to the world, allowing the world to believe that in God they too can be received in love. The communion that our world is yearning for, that many of our, you know, many of your sons and daughters, maybe grandchildren who aren't here today are yearning for, is that communion. They want to see it. They want to know it's real. And it only comes alive when we submit to God as a people of God, come before him, let him transform our life in these identities of how we're grafted to his son Jesus, who is the Messiah, and then become one body in Christ, a witness of life and communion to the world. So we ask for those graces today to be renewed in these identities. And as priest, prophet, and king, we ask for the grace to surrender to God and allow his grace to help us to live these identities. And most especially, we ask that we might be one body in Christ, specifically here at St. Helens, a witness of God's love and his redeeming power, his redeeming plan in the world. We ask this in his name. Amen.